If you have your Bibles, won't you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8? We've been doing a series called Facing the Giants, and this morning we want to look at facing the giants of poverty, because it's a big issue in our country and also in Africa as well. The purpose of this series is not to overwhelm you or make you feel guilty, but to encourage us and to equip us to make a difference in our city in particular. Amen. And so I want to just ask Melusi this morning, who is going to give a testimony about what God has done in his life. A young man that got saved in our church and is now studying, and he's a deacon in our church, and he's just a wonderful young man, and he's still single as well. Just thought I'd slip that in. But he's going to give his testimony today, so let's give him a big clap and welcome as he comes forward. Thanks, Melusi.
Amen. Sanbonani, Ninjani, well done. I just want to introduce all my names. That's not all my names. It's Malusi Nomen Delight Zulu. So just for everyone to know that. I think I'm going to start here with my testimonies. As Pastor Craig has said, I got saved in this church, and it was in 2005. It was August. I remember that it was the second to last week of August that I got saved. And at the end of that month, so prior to that, everything was awesome at home. But in that particular month, that's when I got saved, that's the same month that my mom lost her job. And from that period onwards, my mom has never worked since. And I think just first of all, as I got saved and I went to camp and I got filled with the Spirit for the very first time at that camp, and God took me to a different dimension. But the following year onwards till my matric, because I knew that my mom doesn't have a job and I have to go to school, and for a week it's 100 rand to go to school, just only transport, and so I had to get a job quick. And so I did. I worked in this particular church. What I did is I helped out on Sunday mornings, but there's another church at Oraby, but I charged them a fee to clean. So I used to, every Saturday, I used to go there and clean up so that I can get funds. But in this church, I did it for free. But yeah, I think from then on, till my matric year, I used that fund to sort of take care of myself, to buy myself clothes and also take myself to school so my mom could worry of all the other expenses such as food. And I think from then onwards, when I finished my matric, it was varsity time. And at home, it's more like my parents had this idea: you finish your matric, go straight and work. But I had a different opinion. I wanted to go to varsity. But my mom doesn't have the money, nor anyone at home has the money. And so I remember quite clearly, so I said, okay, I'm taking a gap year because I don't have a bursary, and UKZN rejected me. So I'm going to take a gap year and apply for next year. And Pastor Craig called me and said, I must come to church. And he says, you're not taking a gap year, you're going straight to varsity. And I said, I've got no money. He says, okay, don't worry, the church will pay the deposit and half that fee. And then after that, you must find a part-time job and pay for yourself. So he threw me in a deep end because he registered me through UNISA, which is a university I never wanted to go and study in. And right then, and I remember Mom Julie actually helped me out to register. And I think the youth knows this is quite a funny one, because when I was looking and applying for a job, before I even applied, so I had to sort out my CV. So I got a phone call. It was a Sunday after church, God being good, and I got a call from Bob Rob, actually, and it says, I hear that you're looking for a job. I said, yes, I am looking for a job. And it says, what are you looking for? I said, anything. So he said, okay, come tomorrow. I'll fetch you at the corner of Roberts Road. So I said, okay. So in my mind, I had the mentality that I was going to go do some gardening work, or painting or something of that sort at his house. And so I didn't dress up. Today I'm on point, but when I was going there, I wasn't dressed up like this. I had a hoodie, I had some funny stuff I had on. And so I went there and I realized I was sitting with four partners and they were actually interviewing me. And I didn't realize that until the last 5 minutes of an interview. And that's when I started pulling my beanie out of my head and all that stuff. But with that, and Bob Rob was taking me, so I was busy hitting myself, like, ah, man, if only I knew. And Bob Rob said, you've got the job, so when can you start? I said, tomorrow. And that was the 13th of September, so I started on the 14th of September. And since then, I've actually worked at Sholink and also been able to find myself with my studies. And currently today, as I stand with UNISA, I only owe them 30 rand at the moment. So I just need to pay that off. So it's just been God being good in my life. Amen. Yeah. And just another one just to add is, at home, I was the first one to actually go to varsity. All the people have never been to varsity, and that has actually opened a way and a different perception to my family as well, where now my brother is actually the second one to go to varsity. So it has just opened up a whole new dimension, if I can say, at home. And just the thing of God has a plan for you. I had a plan for myself, but God had a different plan for me, and I hated it. And today I can actually stand and say, Eunice, I don't owe you anything. God has been good in my life. Thank you very much.
God, what an amazing story. Thanks so much, Melusi. He's one of our heroes. It's fantastic. And we've got so many stories like that from folk in this church that God has helped to overcome giants of poverty, giants of fear. Next week, we'll hear about the giant of depression, how to overcome the giant of depression as well. It's going to be great to hear that as well. So bring friends along. As this has been a great series as we look at these things, and it's wonderful. And praise God for what God is doing. And so this morning, we want to look at facing the giant of poverty. And so just to say that in terms of this sermon, we're trying to, with testimonies, preach for about 30 minutes or so. We're not going to go on too long, but we want to really just preach the essence of the truths that on the Bible and also our context in our city on these issues. And I'm just so delighted on how this series has gone. We'll continue it until the end of November as well. And as a church, we've also been a church that's had a heart for the poor over the years through Project Gateway, through the work that Benson and others are doing with CCP and our AIDS work as well. And we've also done a number of Money Matters courses, and Rob's helped us, Don't Do Debt, Gary Smith and others. It's also on our website as well. And so it's an area that we have, as a church, been trying to grapple with for years and help people through on. And for me to hear Melusi's testimony this morning is just so encouraging. Hallelujah. As I said before, maybe the next president of South Africa will come from Grace Generation Church. Amen. You laugh, but I'm praying for that to happen. Hallelujah. And so I want to encourage you this morning, want to stir you this morning as well as we look at this great topic together. And so I just want to give a few introductory points. First of all, we all know the situation in South Africa and in this continent. There are many poor and needy folk as well. There is a huge gap between the rich and the poor. As well, and bear with me, I've written out my notes this morning. My computer was getting repaired this week, so I might glance at them a bit more than usual. There's a big gap between the rich and the poor in this nation in particular, and much of that was a result of apartheid as well in the past, as 10% of the population were uplifted and 90% were left in many ways in poverty as well. And it is a good thing that we redress that. It is a good thing that there's redistribution and transformation goes on. It's important that that happens. The best illustration of that I heard was years ago, a guy called Perkins. He wrote a book and he said, it's a bit like a sports game or a rugby game or a basketball game where it's two sides that are playing this game, and they play the first half, and at the halftime, it's discovered that one side's been cheating and they haven't been playing according to the rules. They've been cheating, and the score is 50-0. And they confess, they say, we've been cheating, we've been doing it wrong, we're no longer going to cheat in the second half. We'll play the game differently. And they run back on the field. But the writer said, you can't just run back on the field and carry on the game at 50-0, you have to change the score so that there's a fair chance for the other team in the second half. And what's been happening in South Africa is an adjustment of the score. so that others have a chance to play the game fairly. And that's really what's happening as well and in South Africa. And so there's a local situation that's being redressed in the country as well, as resources are shifted to the population group that has been deprived in the past. We're just praying that it's shifted without the stealing. That's what we've spoken about before. Because in that way, a lot more can get to the poor. And a lot more houses and upliftment can take place if there's less and less corruption, which is one of the big problems we're facing as a nation at this time. We just continue to pray into that as well. And isn't it great that the students don't have an increase in fees next year? Hallelujah. Amen. Which means you can give more to the church as well. That's what I thought when I watched it on Twitter as well. But isn't that fantastic? It's wonderful. What a victory. We're also living through times of, there's a global gap between the rich and the poor that's growing. And they say today that, you know, the stats, I'm not going to drown you with stats. We're not doing that in this series. But half the world's population live on less than $2 a day, which is about 500 rand a month or less. And most of the poor in the world are now in Africa. They're living in Africa as well. So if you have a home, your own home and a car, you're in the top 1 or 2% of the richest people in the world. They're not just in Hollywood, they're right here amongst us as well. And so we've seen that pure capitalism doesn't always work. There are parts of it that are helpful in terms of people's initiative, but it doesn't always work because it leads to greed and so on. And pure socialism doesn't work as well because it only works until you've spent everybody else's money and then you have to start working and thinking for yourself. And so we really need to dip into the Bible and look at what God says in some of these areas as well, because a lot of the economic theory we're seeing in the world today is simply not working. And the rich are getting richer, and the poor are getting poorer. And I was in Joburg last weekend as well at Sivza's church, helping to appoint elders in that church, and there were a number of pastors from Zimbabwe that were there, and we spoke to them, and they said, please pray for us. Most of our job is just helping people from Monday to Friday just to live with food and other stuff as well. And so we want to, I'll share more with you. They're going to find out how we can get more food stuff in to help them. And I think in the near future, we'll collect some food to send to Zimbabwe to help the believers there. But they really are under pressure in Zimbabwe. I think most people that clap for Robert Mugabe are not living in Zimbabwe. They're living outside Zimbabwe because the people there are really struggling. And we really need to pray for them, and we need to help them as well. And so we have this situation where sometimes the poor are getting poorer, the rich are getting richer. In South Africa as well, there are particular challenges in South Africa as well. We have a very low tax base. So there's only about 5 million people paying tax in South Africa that are supporting a population of 50 million. And so well done for paying your taxes. It's very important that we do that. And we need more and more people to pay taxes, because you don't help the poor, or you don't make the poor rich by making the rich poor. We need folk that are paying tax in order to help. And in South Africa, there's a very low tax base. They say in 94, there was something like 300 taxpayers for every 100 people on welfare. Today, there's only 90 taxpayers for every 100 people on welfare. So it's a very serious situation that we need to pray into as well. And just to help you as well, I have to say this. But the government doesn't pay for services. We do, and you do, through your taxes. Hallelujah. The government just channels it to people. But as we pay taxes, as we pay to Caesar, as Robert said, we're able to uplift people and help people. And Jesus even said that, pay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar as well. So well done for paying taxes. Well done for giving to the church. And also thank you for the way you've supported this church so much. We're also able to help poor folk through this church as well. And so the causes of poverty are also very complex. It's not a simple thing to solve poverty. Poverty is caused by oppression. Sometimes it's caused by natural disasters. And sometimes through moral failure or bad leadership as well can cause poverty. And we need different responses to poverty as well. Sometimes we need immediate relief. Sometimes you need to give someone a food parcel or buy them a meal. That's what they need. They need food today. Other times we need to empower people so they can get out of a poverty trap, because people get caught in a poverty trap. There's just too much month at the end of their money. How many of you have known that? There's just too much month at the end of the money. And sometimes we also need to do justice and social reform so that there can be change as well. And so let me also just give you some myths or some untruths about poverty. First of all, the poor are not under God's judgment, although poverty itself is a curse. But we can't say that the poor are under God's judgment. That's not a biblical statement. We can say that poverty is a sign of God's blessing very often. When you become a Christian, poverty does, the gospel does lift you out of poverty. And you will find many of the richer nations in their history have embraced the gospel. The gospel brings redemption and lift. Hallelujah. But not everybody who's rich is blessed of God as well. So there is a sense where the gospel brings prosperity, but not every rich person is blessed of God, because you can make money through criminal means as well. The Bible also tells us that you can't serve both God and money. You can't make a master out of both. You must serve one or the other. Okay. And so just a few final things as part of this introduction. We're living through a human epoch of history where economics affects everything. Economics affects everything. So if the dollar drops in America, it affects us here. If the oil price changes, it affects what we pay for petrol and so on. And the Bible agrees with that. The Bible has a lot to say about handling finances. The Bible has about 200 verses on faith and about 2,000 verses on money and on finances. And in the parables that Jesus spoke, about 15 of the 18 parables in one way or another have something to do with money. Money is a very powerful force. Jesus called it mammon. It's a very powerful thing, and it can affect you, because the Bible says your heart will be where your treasure is. And if you follow after money, you will find it does creep into your heart, and it affects your heart. And you might find that it affects your lifestyle, your behavior, your family. You begin to work too hard. You become stingy. Sometimes you want things to have instead of wanting the things you already have. And I would encourage you today, go home and open the door and thank God for your furniture and thank God for your bed and thank God for your shoes. And if you've got a car, thank God for your car. If you open the fridge and there's some food in the fridge, say, Lord, thank you. I've got food in my fridge. Hallelujah. Be grateful for what God has given you. Hallelujah. And as we look at the subject, and as I get into it, I'm going to give you a few points this morning. Folks, we need a gospel approach to our finances, because the Bible says the gospel is good news to the poor. Hallelujah. In the world, if you're poor, that so often becomes your identity. It becomes your status. But the gospel changes your identity. Whether you there's neither rich nor poor, black or white, male or female, we're all one in Christ. Hallelujah. And the Bible also says that the poor are rich in faith. So often you'll find that the poor respond to the gospel because they know they need God. They need God to do something. The Bible also tells us that God cares deeply for the poor and the vulnerable. And if you're kind to the poor, you'll be kind to God. God sort of sees it as being kind to him if you're kind to the poor. You can't love Jesus without caring for the poor. You can't do that. We need to care for the poor. Jesus' first sermon, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, from Isaiah 61, because God has called me to preach good news to the poor. Hallelujah. Preach good news to the poor. And I'm so excited to be in a church like this that's so mixed, where we do have some rich folk and some poor folk together in a church like this. You'll see in a few minutes why that is also so important. And so God built into His order of things, a shalom, a peace for us, where he encourages us to give to the poor. He encourages us to not be unjust, to pay good salaries and good wages, to not deprive people. He also built in a year of Jubilee, where every 50 years your credit card would get sorted out and your bond would get paid. And if you'd sold land, it would be restored back to you. Hallelujah. Because God doesn't want people to be perpetually in debt. It's not a good thing. And for us as well, friends, it's so good for us to give to the poor. It's good for you. It's good for me as well. It keeps our vision clear. Turn with me quickly to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, verse 19,
where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, thieves don't break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then look what he says in the next verse. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. I can just say this to you, church. There's nothing that will affect your eyesight, your spiritual eyesight, the way you see things, as money will. Money has a way of changing the way you see things and the way you see people. And so Jesus speaks about money, and in the next verse, he's doing an eye check. And he's saying to you, if you allow money to get a grip of you, it'll affect the way you see things. It'll affect your eyesight. And so it's good for us to give to the poor. It's good for us to not be in bondage to money, because it keeps us healthy, it keeps us spiritually alive, and it keeps us closer to God. It really does. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's not to say we don't want rich folk. We want folk to become rich and make lots of money. We'll talk about that in a moment. I'll give you a few tips how to make more money. But we don't want money to overtake us and to grip our hearts. Hallelujah. So how can I overcome poverty in my own life, and how can I make a difference to the lives of others? You still with me? You guys like the subject? Great. So do I. Wonderful. Okay, number one. We need to keep letting the gospel change us. Let's just look now at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 together. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I must keep letting the gospel change me. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. I'm going to just read one verse this morning. And it's a verse that really sums up the ministry of Jesus. And it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." Hallelujah. Amen. Friends, when we really understand the gospel, when we really understand what Jesus has done for us, the generosity of God in the gospel, it affects everything. It affects the way I see my money, my possessions, the poor, and the work of God's kingdom. The great generosity, here's the big idea. The great generosity of God seen in the cross makes me generous. Hallelujah. The gospel works. And you find time and again in the New Testament, Paul motivates giving and generosity by pointing us back to the cross. Hallelujah. It was central in the life of the early church. It was central in Paul's life as well. As they looked to the cross, they were able to remember the poor, and they were able to be generous. Hallelujah. Generous generally, and generous specifically within the house of God. And so giving really begins in here. It begins as we care for one another in the church. It says that in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, "Let us do good to all people, but especially to those who belong to the household of faith." Hallelujah. And so we want to care for one another, and we want to do that more and more. As I look at our budget, we want to help people more and more, particularly the poor. We want to get behind that in this church, and then also help others outside as well. And so that begins by understanding the gospel, and it begins by looking at Jesus and his grace and what Jesus has done for us. And I just want to open up this verse a little bit. It says, Jesus was rich. He was rich. How was he rich? Well, he owned the universe. That's pretty rich, isn't it? Jesus dwelt in glory, in majestic glory. Hallelujah. In power, in position, and in his purpose, in his person, he was God. Hallelujah. Jesus was God. He was God in glory. Hallelujah. The Bible says he was rich. And the Bible says he left glory. Hallelujah. To come to earth to take on human form. With every limitation and every temptation, he took it on. And not just that, friends, but Jesus became poor. He wasn't born into a middle-class family. He became poor. He mixed with the poor. Let me refresh your mind. We know these things, but he was born into a very poor family. When they came to give the offering in the temple,
And when I read this, I just wept this week. Sometimes I sit in my study and I'm preparing and I just read a verse and it just kind of ruins me. And I read Leviticus 5 verse 11 and it just broke me up. I was sitting at home on my own and it says in Leviticus 5:11, it says, when you come to bring an offering, the firstborn child in your family, if you cannot afford a lamb, you can bring some pigeons. And if you can't afford pigeons, you can bring a cup of flour. And Jesus, his family, they couldn't afford a lamb. Mary and Joseph couldn't afford a lamb. Most of us could afford a lamb. We'd get the money together if we had to do it. Jesus was born into a family that couldn't afford. If they cannot afford a lamb, they can bring two pigeons, which is the offering of the poor. It says that he was born in a barn. A barn, filthy stable, really. Why? Because they didn't have any money to give the innkeeper. If they had the money, he would have made a plan. Hallelujah. And there were no baby clothes, like my grandson Jack has got. I'm excited every Sunday to see what outfit he's wearing. His fat little legs protruding. But Jesus had no baby clothes from Woolworths or Checkers. He was wrapped up in an old blanket. The Bible says he had nowhere to lay his head. So if I was Jesus preaching today, at the end of the service, I'd be hoping someone would take me home for lunch. I also do hope that. But I'd be hoping that. And I'll be hoping that they'd invite me to stay over for the night because I don't have anywhere to stay. At the end of his life, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey. He had the Last Supper in a borrowed room. He died and was laid in a borrowed tomb. And then they cast lots for his robe so that he died naked upon the cross in front of his mother. The little he had was taken away from him. He was discarded, thrown away, and he died as a state criminal. Death on the cross was the ultimate shame. It was a public statement by Rome that the crucified one was beyond contempt. No other death could match crucifixion as the absolute destruction of a person. It was meant to destroy you as a person. And it was the ultimate counterpoint to the majestic glory that he came from. And so it says in Philippians chapter 2, in those magnificent verses, it says this Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he took on human flesh and he made himself nothing, took on the nature of a servant and was obedient to death, even death upon a cross. Friends, there's no higher place and there's no lower depths that you can bridge than what Jesus did for us to prove his obedience to the Father and his love for us. It was the ultimate expression of obedience to the Father. He became poor so that by his poverty and death, we might be rich. Hallelujah. This great exchange. We were poor sinners. We were lost. We were outside of the kingdom of God. We had no hope. And Jesus stepped down into our world. Into this poor family where Mary was thought she'd had an illegitimate pregnancy. And he lived in that kind of poverty and he identified with those kind of people. He wasn't born in a palace, didn't have a fat salary. He identified with the poorest of the poor. Why did he do that? So that everyone could identify with Jesus. So that everyone could say, Jesus knows what it's like to go without a meal. Jesus knows what it's like to not have anywhere to sleep. Jesus knows what it's like to not being able to pay your rent. And I ask you this morning, do you know this Jesus? He's amazing. Has He changed your life? The gospel is the greatest motivation for generosity. That's why our nation needs the gospel. And friends, not just looking at Jesus, but for us as well, to move on. Secondly, for us, we must also keep touching the poor. Even though we do get tired of that. I get tired of people knocking on my window at the robot, at the traffic lights. You get compassion fatigue. You get exhausted. You get tired. But we need to keep touching the poor. You don't have to become poor. We need Christians that can make millions. Let me set you free. We need Christians that can make pots and pots and pots of money for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? We need young men and women that are graduating, that are going to go on to make pots and pots of money and do it properly and do it righteously. Hallelujah. Not cut corners. And then to use that resource and to use that finance to touch the poor. You don't have to become poor, but we must touch the poor. We must touch the poor. It begins and ends with people. It's not so much about grand programs and economic theory and all these aid organizations. I've worked for a big aid organization. Most of these aid organizations spend most of their money just running the organization. It begins with people. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. Just read that to you. 1 John chapter 3. It's a simple little verse, as only John the Apostle could write. And he says, verse 16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, that's the key, sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how can God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deeds and truth. Hallelujah. And so what John is saying in this verse, he's giving us a key, how we can touch the poor, and we must touch the poor. I'm not saying you must become poor. Who wants to become poor? Who wants to embrace poverty? It's not more spiritual. It doesn't make you closer to God. You spend most of your time worrying where the next meals come from. You're not thinking about God. You think about food and other things. So poverty is a curse. But we must touch the poor. And here's a key how to do it. It says, first of all, if he sees his brother, you see someone in need. It means you're close to that person. You see your brother. There's a relationship with that person. You notice something. You see something. The Bible says you need to do something about it. Hallelujah. These are the rules of the gospel. If you've received grace, this is how you're meant to live, Jonathan Edwards says. About 2 years ago, I was taking somebody home from this church, one of the leaders in this church home. And I just happened to ask them, do you have any money at the moment? They give me permission to share the story. Do you have any money? And they said, no, I don't have any money. And then I went to my second question. I always go to after that. I said, do you have any food at home? The person said, no, I don't have any food at the moment. And I said, well, when last did you eat? The person said, well, I ate 3 days ago. And it shocked me. And I realized, friends, it's not just out there. It's sometimes in here. If you see your brother in need, do something. Hallelujah. Just do something to help them. Be radically generous as they were in the early church. They were radically generous with the poor, orphans, widows, and needy. They lived in a different way in the early church because they felt something radical had happened in their lives. They'd met Jesus. They had a radical generosity that released the blessing of God among them. Hallelujah. And that's what we've seen happen in our land at the moment with the leadership. What has happened in South Africa 20 years ago, there was a struggle, there were noble causes, there were leadership coming through, and what has happened to many of them, they have been corrupted by money. Money has corrupted them. And the ANC is rotting from the inside. because of corruption, because of money. And we must not be like that. We must not let this giant overtake us and overwhelm us. We must not let that happen. There was a letter that one of the early Christians wrote 20 years after John the Apostle died. A letter from Diognetus. I've read it to you before, trying to explain Christianity and why it was spreading so fast and taking over the Roman world. And they said, they live in their own country but live as aliens, these Christians. They marry but do not kill unwanted babies. They share a table with everyone but not their beds with anyone. They poor but make many rich. They treat it shamefully but behave respectfully. They seem to be short of everything, but they seem to have everything. They mocked, but they bless in return. And this is why Christianity is spreading so fast. It's good news to the poor. Hallelujah. Praise God. If I look at our figures and what God's helped us to do as a church, man, I think fantastic. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for your generosity. And so as I close, how can we touch the poor? Practically a few things. Number one, keep giving. Keep giving and keep tithing. That means give away 10% of your income every month. Give away the first overs, not the leftovers. Hallelujah. Don't get hung up about the word tithing. It's not in the New Testament because it's in the Old Testament. The New Testament's an upgrade. I've just upgraded my computer to Windows 10. I'm trying to sort it out now. I've been on XP for years. New Testament's an upgrade. Just make peace with that. Hallelujah. Work hard and don't be corrupt. Be the hardest working person in your job and in your business. Just work hard. Hallelujah. The dictionary is the only place where you will find success before work. I told you that before. Wesley said, make as much money as you can, live as simply as you can, and give away as much as you can. So simplify your lifestyle. Just keep looking at your lifestyle. Watch a mammon spirit. Get out of debt. Get out of debt. If you need help, speak to Rob. He's excellent. Get out of debt. Don't get into debt as Christmas approaches. Do a yearly clean out of stuff. I'm going to do that this December. Just give away stuff you don't use or have or need. Teach your kids to give. Teach them to give when they're small. Get them into habits of giving. Faithful in little, faithful in much. Hallelujah. Don't have any secrets in your marriage about giving. The wives need to know what the husbands are earning. And if the wife's earning more, please tell your husband what you're earning. Hallelujah. Don't have his account and her account. Do it together. Amen. Do hospitality. Open your home. Just do hospitality. Invite folk for coffee and tea and meals. That kind of thing. Use your home. Hallelujah. And learn to live simply. Before you buy something, I'm not saying you must be obsessive, but just say, do we need this? Is the old one we've got, is it all right? Just live simply. So you can give. Hallelujah. The more you give to the kingdom of God, the more the gospel can also spread. Hallelujah. And finally, friends, if we do this, if we allow the gospel to keep changing our lives, if we keep our eyes on Jesus and we remember what he's done for us, it will stir a radical generosity in our hearts. I struggle with this as well. My wife helps me so often with this. Not holding on, releasing. You will find as you do that, God will bless you. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. We know those verses. And then it says this, verse 8, and God is able, when you're a cheerful giver, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Hallelujah. As it is written, he distributed freely, he's given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply. Will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and the increase of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. And this and the ministry of the service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. And people will glorify God for your generosity as well. Hallelujah. And we found in our own lives, God has just surprised us again and again, just with gifts and blessings and motor cars. Hallelujah. Cars we drive were gifts, as you know, from a young guy discipled in Cape Town. He's got an anointing for motor cars. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He just blessed us. Praise God. And as you do that to others, God will supply all your needs. All your needs. Through His riches and glory. Hallelujah. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I close with this. For you know, He wants us to know it and remember it. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sake, He became poor. So that you, by His poverty, might become rich.